Praise God. 2 Chronicles 13, if you have your Bibles this morning. Before I start, I really do want to just express my appreciation. It's a privilege and an honor to be able to minister anywhere, to be able to preach anywhere, and in a venue like this where men are willing to shake the sheets in the morning and come feed their faces and hear the Word of God. It's an honor. So I want to preach a sermon this morning entitled Responding to Ambush out of 2 Chronicles 13. We're going to start in verse 13. Last month, a man broke into 82-year-old Willie Murphy's Rochester home, but she's not pressing charges. I already sent him to the hospital, she said. And after a workout at the YMCA, Murphy, who's barely 5 feet tall and weighs 105 pounds, beat the intruder so hard with a small table that it broke. Then, while the man was on the floor dazed, she poured shampoo in his eyes. And then, while he screamed at her, calling her everything but the mother of God, she jumped on him. And then Murphy, who admitted to uttering a few four-letter words herself, grabbed a broom and repeatedly jabbed him with all her force. She said, "If it's my time to go to hell, I'm taking him with me." The man ended up in the hospital, and the four Rochester police officers who showed up just as she was delivering her final blows with the broom asked to take selfies with her. You know, Pastor Mitchell has said oftentimes it's not about what happens to you in life, but how you respond to it. And in life, there are assaults that will come, but how we respond will be the key to God's help this morning. And so that's why I want to preach on responding to ambush. If you have your Bible, 2 Chronicles 13, starting in verse 13. It says, "But Jeroboam caused an ambush to go around behind them. So they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. And when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was at both the front and rear. And they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. As the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. The children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. Then Abijah and his people struck them with a great slaughter, so 500,000 choice men of Israel fell slain. Thus the children of Israel were subdued at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers." Responding to ambush. I want to look firstly with you this morning at the assault. First, to understand this story, we have to understand a little bit of biblical context. And this was a long-standing assault. We know the history. Rehoboam was the son of a servant of Solomon. They were trying to usurp the throne. And so to understand this, this wasn't just today's battle. This was a long-going conflict. This was happening over the course of time. 2 Chronicles 13, this is Rehoboam's rebellion, the conflict between Judah and Israel. 2 Chronicles 13, 6, "Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, a servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against the Lord." Today, we deal with assaults that are also long-term. There can be physical sickness. John 5:5, "Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. That wasn't just you woke up this morning with the sniffles. This was for years this man was afflicted in his body. There can also be long-term mental assaults. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Some scholars believe this was a physical sickness, but in reality, this was not just a physical problem. This was a mental assault. There could be people issues that don't go away. Wouldn't it be nice that when the day you get saved, all of the irritating people in your life just disappear? But that's not a reality this morning. Can you say amen? We have this idea that if we serve God long enough, all the irritating people in our lives will go away. People in the world that vex us, especially in ministry. If you've never been vexed by people before, join ministry and you'll meet some vexing people. There can also be long-term barrenness. This is the affliction of many disciples. You want to be fruitful. You want your life to make impact. You want to see people's lives changed. I can tell you from experience in pioneering in Denver, there was times of barrenness. You're outreaching, everybody and their mother gets a flyer. You're witnessing to anything with a pulse, and nobody's getting saved. For many disciples, barrenness can be a frustration and a long-term assault. Abraham and Sarah, this was a personal issue that was long-term. Luke 5:5, Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Peter, in our text here, he has a common dilemma. No fruit, barrenness. Why aren't things working? Things aren't happening the way we expect them to. But our scripture points out this is not only a long-term assault or strategy of hell, but this was an ambush. Verse 13, but Jeroboam caused an ambush to go around behind them. So they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. The ambush, this was a sudden surprise. And so while this was a long-term conflict, this battle was also a surprise. Acts 25 talks about the Jews laying a trap for Paul, wanting to kill him, wanting to ambush him. And so the practical reality this morning is that there will be sudden assaults in our lives that we will face. Financial setbacks. You know, why is it the car always breaks down a few days before payday? It doesn't happen the day after. You have these financial setbacks, problems, and issues that come. There's unexpected diagnosis. I don't know if you've noticed, but in our fellowship and in our church specifically, there have been physical attacks against the people in this church with sickness. My family has been the recipient in the past week or so of some extremely painful news. Diagnosis from the doctor: I've got bad news and worse news. Which would you like first? Those are unexpected assaults. Conflicts with people, they can suddenly explode, especially in marriage. You can feel like everything's going fine. There's long times of peace, but all of a sudden, it's like everything comes crashing down. Luke 24:21, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all these, today is the third day since these things happened. In other words, these men were blindsided by what happened in life. It felt like an ambush. Also, the assault has the potential to be overwhelming. This is the point of an ambush. Verse 14, and when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was at both front and rear. It was at front and rear. This was not a good surprise. You know, life has a way of overwhelming us. Things don't even have to be terrible. It's just the timing of it all. You can handle one assault, but multiple being dogpiled by the enemy can feel overwhelming. Also, problems don't line up like enemies in a kung fu movie, right? Once you deal with this one, then the next one comes. And then after you've settled that guy, though, then the next one comes. That's not how life works. Psalms 124:4, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. When we are overwhelmed, people stop fighting. Men can stop doing what is necessary to survive, and we can give in to those problems. Job 17:1, my spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. In other words, in this moment, Job has given up. And this is the wrong response. I want to look secondly with you this morning at responding to ambush. You see, the key in crisis is always based on how we respond to it. There's a few incorrect responses we can have. Number one, some people respond in panic. Matthew 26:56, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. I've watched people have complete meltdowns because of crisis. They can't even think straight when the assaults hit. And it's at this point the danger is people make life-altering decisions because of crisis. Pastor, I'm going through problems. There's an issue. So I've decided I'm going to move away. I've decided I'm going to stop coming to church. Pastor, I'm getting out of ministry like Pastor Greg preached the other day. I'm done with it all. So they respond in panic. They're not making rational decisions. The second incorrect response is some people freeze. 1 Samuel 17:16, and the Philistine, this is the story of David and Goliath. The Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. The entire army sat there doing nothing. I think about that story and I wonder if it would have ended up a little bit different if just a few guys, 10 guys, oh, we could whip Goliath. Let's go throw stuff at him. Let's take care of the enemy. But this is what happens in crisis is nobody moves. They're frozen. And then finally and tragically, some people blame God. Job's wife is a great example. If we're going through trouble, God must either be responsible or complicit. He doesn't care about what I'm going through. After all, if God cared about this crisis that I'm in, he would make it stop. And in our text, their first response, this was the correct response. What Judah does is, firstly, they call on God. Verse 14, and when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was at both front and rear, and they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. You see, when we are ambushed by the enemy, when we're ambushed by life, our first response must always be to call on God. I've seen this. Men, they're going through financial difficulty. The only way out of it is I have to work on Sunday. Sorry, Pastor, I've got these financial, I'm feeling the pressure. But your first response must be to call on God. Peter, he's sinking. And he cries out, Lord, save me. That makes sense because Jesus was right there. And for some of us, when we're going through those crisis moments of life, we can think Jesus is so far off. But just like for Peter, Jesus is always right there. Hezekiah takes the letters before God. This was his default response. Go to God. It's very dangerous when our response goes the other way. Stay out of church when we most need to hear from God. Stop praying, stop giving. It's interesting also in our text that they all cried to God. There's a problem. Well, pastors should call to God and fix it. The door director should figure it out. But this says the problem affected everybody. So they all cried out to God. They understood this was a desperate situation. And think about this. This was their instinctive response. This wasn't a last-ditch effort. Well, we've exhausted everything else. Maybe we should ask God for help. They saw they were surrounded. The ambush was coming, and they cried out to God. The second thing that Judah does that we need to understand is they also called out to their brethren. Verse 15, then the men of Judah gave. And Pastor Heinrich said, what are you talking about? I've been trying to get a hold of you. I don't know where you guys are. And she didn't believe him. He said, go check your husband's phone. And there it was, all the missed calls and text messages reaching out. You know, sometimes we can suffer unnecessarily simply because we don't reach out to others. The default response when we come to church is, I'm doing great, brother. I'm great. I'm blessed and highly favored. That can come from a wrong attitude. We can feel like people don't care, when in reality they care very much. They simply don't know. In our scripture, this could be an imagery of praying together for a need. They give a shout. We're in this together. We're coming up. Four-letter word. We're coming up on a fast. You know what that is? That's an opportunity for us as men of God to rise up together and call out to God. For the needs of our fellowship, the needs of this church. And what's fascinating is that in our text, it is when they shouted that God struck down Jeroboam. Sometimes we're waiting for God to do something, waiting for God to help, waiting for God to get involved. Verse 15, and as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah in Judah. It says, when the men of Judah shouted out, they lifted their voices, they cried out to God. That's when God got involved. It's not an accident that it says when. I believe God responds to partnership. That's the point here. I want to close with you. I want to look at God's help. So our scripture tells the story of an incredible victory. Sometimes we can read through the Bible and, oh, that's a nice history lesson. 500,000 men were defeated and they laid slain on the ground. That's incredible. Have you ever even seen 500,000 people anywhere? But this is what God can do. Verse 15, then the men of Judah gave a shout. As the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. Then Abijah and his people struck them with a great slaughter. So 500,000 choice men of Israel fell slain. God did what they could not do. For some of us, you're going through problems, crises of life, issues, that there is no easy solution. There's no simple fix or formula. Oh, just say this and do this and clap twice and click your heels and everything's going to be fine. But the hope of our text is that when God gets involved, everything changes. God can move in physical healing. He can give financial breakthrough. There can be supernatural fruitfulness, salvation of loved ones. God can change people's hearts. Also, God enabled their actions to be effective. It says they slew 500,000. God took what they were able to do and magnified it, made it larger. You see, God can magnify your ministry. God can magnify your prayers. He can magnify your effectiveness on outreach. He can magnify your impact. Also, God helped them because they relied on Him. This is the key. Verse 18, thus the children of Israel were subdued at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. Because they were willing to trust God in their moment of distress, God came through. This is the simple truth, is that God is reliable. Can you say amen? He's got a very good track record. Psalms 37:25, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. We can trust God because his testimony is 100% sure. Isaiah 26:4, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. You feel weary this morning. You feel pressed by the enemy. You feel an ambush on all sides. The good news is God is not weary. He doesn't lose strength. God is not stressed out with you, wondering, is this ever going to get any better? This is the hope of our text. Isaiah 26:4, trust in the Lord. If I can challenge you to do one thing this morning, it would be to trust God in everything. Well, Pastor, I've done that. I trusted God once. I've been trusting God. Continue. Continue trusting God. Because the promise in our text is that the ambush is survivable. You might be in the middle of an assault, something overwhelming. You can't possibly see a way out. Just like our scripture, the enemy was in front and behind them. You've got financial problems in front of you. You've got physical problems behind you. There's problems in relationships all around. Issues are overwhelming your life this morning. But can I tell you, God has the final word. From the the natural view in this story, it would have looked hopeless. The enemy surrounding them. They're about to be ambushed. You can't defend yourself from the front and from the back at the same time. It doesn't work. But this is what's encouraging. At the end of the day, God has the final word. However bad your situation is this morning, God is greater than those. We can sing the song, God is greater than our problems, but do we actually believe it? God is greater than my problems, except that one. That one's really great. 2 Kings 6:17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When it all looked hopeless for them, when it looked like it's not going to get any better, God has the final word. So I leave you with this. Whatever the ambush is, whatever the assault may come, when we trust God, we can survive. And even more than survival, you can be victorious. Verse 18, the enemy was subdued and Judah prevailed. You can have this bunker mentality sometimes. Oh, if I just get through this day, if I just survive today, I'll be all right. God doesn't want you to just survive today. He wants you to be victorious. We are more than conquerors, the Bible says. And that's what God is able to do. I believe God is going to deliver. God is going to move in a supernatural way this morning. I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed just for a few moments. No moving around, just for a moment. Amen. I have no doubt that in this place this morning, there are men here, you are going through problems. Issues of life that seem overwhelming. But if we're going to be honest this morning, your biggest problem is not where you were raised or your family or your demographic or how much money you make. The Bible says our biggest problem is sin. The Bible says for the wages of sin is death. That means eternal separation from God in a place called hell. But the Bible also says that the gift of God is eternal life. The hope for you this morning is that you don't have to live in sin anymore. Living for yourself, doing your own thing, and then suffering the consequences. You see, you don't have to live like that. There is a God in heaven who loves you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible also says that God demonstrates his love towards us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see, in the Christmas season, for many of us, we feel charitable. We want to try and do better. The new year is coming, and oh, I'll just clean up my act. Next year will be different. Things will be better next year. But can I tell you, without Jesus Christ, you're just spinning your wheels. Because the problem is internal. It's a problem of sin. Jesus died a brutal and a horrible death upon the cross to set you free from sin. And he rose again the third day, demonstrating the power to deliver, to set free. And if you're in this place this morning, you're living in sin, you would be honest about that. Say, I'm living in sin. I'm far from God. I'm not asking if you go to church or if you're religious. I'm asking this morning, have you been born again? Have your sins been washed clean by the blood of Jesus? If you're in this place this morning and you cannot identify with that experience, you have an opportunity this morning. And with no looking around, you'd be honest and say, Pastor, I'm not right with God. I'm unsaved. I'm living in sin. But I want to be right with God. And by lifting your hand this morning, you're saying, I want to pray in honesty. I want to say a prayer and ask Jesus into my heart. If that's you in this place, quickly slip up your hand. Say, I'm not right with God. I'm living in sin. I'm backslidden in my heart. I'm far from God this morning, but I want to get right. Would you lift up your hand quickly? By raising your hand, you're signifying and saying, I want to pray. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to sign some paperwork or give a speech. I'm asking, are you willing this morning to be honest with the God who created you? lift it up quickly and say, yes, I need to pray this morning. I need to get my heart right. Put it up, put it right back down. Amen. Glory to God. Changing the appeal then this morning, we're going to take a few moments. We're going to lay hold of God in this place. I believe there's men in here, you are facing an ambush of extraordinary proportion. Problems, and you are thinking, I don't know if I can actually make it through this at all. I am not going to survive this. I don't know whatever situation that might be. The Holy Spirit is faithful. He's speaking to hearts in this place. Can I encourage you this morning? We serve a God who is greater. He's able to deliver. He's able to set free. He's able to remove that enemy. He's able to help in times of trouble. He's able to encourage if we're willing to call on God and rally around our brethren. God is able to move in a powerful way. We're going to take a few moments. We're going to lay hold of God in this place while we sing that song. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, I'm asking, move in this place right now. God, minister to every need. Physical sickness. God, there are problems represented in this place that only you are able to move in. Oh God, release your power this morning. Pour out your spirit. God, I'm asking, have right of way in every heart. Shiaramanda rebebe sandai. Oh, God, we believe you this morning for breakthrough. Mighty signs and wonders, God, we believe you this morning. Oh, God, we call upon you this morning, asking for your help, Lord God. Shiaramanda rebebebe siburi karabamasha. Oh, God, we thank and praise you. Thank you, God, for your power. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to challenge you this morning. You identify with some things that I've said this morning, and you, in your own life, you are going through an ambush this morning. You know that. You're going through an assault from the enemy, and you want to be free from that. You want God to move. I want you to stand to your feet very quickly. Amen. I want to help you to pray this morning. I want you to lift your hands and say, oh God in heaven, I recognize the ambush that is set against my life. And right now, as Judah did, I call upon you for deliverance, for strategy, and for help right now. I take dominion over my life. Devil, you're a liar. I bind you by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God, for hearing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God praise, church. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb of God. We give you glory. God, move. Supernatural favor, God. Deliverance, God. Pour out your grace. Pour out your mercy. We rally together right now, God, for deliverance. Give us strength, Lord God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God, I need you to move right now. Thank you for your grace. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So encouraged this morning by everybody's effort to be here and be able to fellowship with you together.